Welcome back live on ESPN 97.5. John and Sean out at Wildcat Golf Club. And it's all about the Hit King Baseball Academy today, the big tournament out here. They got both courses. And the Hit King is here himself. Doesn't get any better. Pete Rose joining us here on ESPN. Aren't you tired of talking to him yet?
Oh, I could talk all night and all day with him and all week.
You talked 2 hours with him yesterday.
Was it that long?
Yeah, but it wasn't enough. Him and I have been doing this forever, and I loved it. I was telling him I've been doing it 20 years. That was the best 2 hours and best hour and a half I've ever had. Just not only talking baseball, but the laughs, the stories, the serious answers, because you don't back down. I love you, man.
What it's easy to do? It's easy to do interviews when the guys that are doing the interviews know what the hell they're talking about.
Yeah. Well, it's different now. You're with
hard.
Me.
When a guy don't know what he's talking about, and he's trying to get you to say something, those are the tough interviews.
Yeah.
And I was lucky enough to do radio for 9 years from my restaurant down in Boca, a nationally syndicated show, and got a lot of great guests. The only guests I couldn't get were baseball players because they're at the ballpark when I was on, you know, from 6 to 8 every night. But the easiest guys to get are football coaches and basketball coaches because they use your show for recruiting. You know, and they're always available.
Absolutely.
They're always available. So there's so much going on in sports. Of course, Cleveland came back last night and won against Boston. And Ottawa came back and won against Pittsburgh. So now we're going to have two more, at least game sixes and game sevens. That's what it's all about in
that
sports.
That's fun stuff. How did you like doing with A-Rod and Frank and doing the baseball stuff?
Oh, don't forget Kevin Burkhardt, man. Yeah. He's the best.
He is really good, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
I think he does wonderful in football. You know, his partner with John Lynch.
Yeah.
He just become GM out there in
San
Francisco.
An unbelievable offseason, too.
Yep, and we get along good. A-Rod's the best, and Frank is I could make fun of Frank every day. It got to the point where I disagreed with Frank even when I agreed with him. It's called radio wrestling, as you know.
Right.
And if you get this guy disagreeing with this guy and a caller, unfortunately, in Fox you don't get no callers. But we get along good. Traveled good together. So that was fun.
He was saying, and he loves A-Rod, too. You think he's prepared and ready to go.
He's over-prepared,
right.
If you want to know the truth.
Yeah.
He's almost anal about like that. I mean, he just wants to be perfect. And I'm the wrong guy to sit. I don't have no notes. My notes are all in my head. A-Rod will go on a 20-minute show and have a half an inch of notes. But he wants to be prepared for everything.
So, just plain talk. You didn't care. There are a lot of guys who thought he cheated baseball. You don't feel that way?
He probably did. Barry probably did. I don't know if Roger did. He says he didn't. I remember I did a thing a year ago with Reggie and Goose Gossage. And we took questions from the audience, about 400 people. And the first question was, would you vote for Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens for the Hall of Fame? And I said, yes, I would. And Goose yells out, why? You know, and I said, well.
Yeah, Goose gets mad at that.
Yeah, when I got back to the situation, here's my answer. I said, I don't know what they did, good, bad, or indifferent, but I'm an American. I'm willing to give them a second chance. That's the only reason I said yes. You know, those guys are friends of mine. I don't know what Roger Clemens did. I know he won 7 Cy Youngs. I don't know what Barry Bonds did.
I know they were both pretty good even before the allegations, too,
Yeah,
Pete.
But who knows when they did this or when they did that. So if you think there's nobody in the Hall of Fame that took steroids, I want to know what rope you're doing that on, okay? And if you think nobody in the Hall of Fame ever gambled since 1919, I understand baseball and gambling and the Black Sox scandal. I understand all that stuff. So it's going to be interesting when they finally find someone that's in the Hall of Fame that took steroids. Then it's going to open the door for Barry and open the door for Palmeiro and open the door for Roger Clemens.
Well, I do know that Roger Clemens.
Sammy Sosa.
Yeah, Roger Clemens risked going to prison for lying to because he said, I didn't do it.
Right.
He could have just said, I'm going to take the fifth. He said, I didn't do it.
Well, everybody got caught up in what Pettit said.
Right.
You know, that's a good friend.
Right.
Pettis says, I saw him do it. Why would you, if you're a good teammate, Sean, why would you say that?
Yeah. Never have, never would.
I mean, I don't
Well, no, he said, he told me that he did it.
Oh, I thought he said he saw him.
No. They were sitting on the bench together, and Pettit said he said that one time.
Well, I really don't care. Yeah. Roger, I spent New Year's Eve with him. He's a hoot, man.
I love Roger.
Roger's great. He's funny, great in his community. He's been here for. He's one. He's a good guy.
It's a competitive SOB too now, isn't
he? Yes, he is. Unfortunately, I didn't have to face him. Okay, but there's two guys I could listen to talk all day about baseball. Roger's one of them, and Lou Piniella's the other.
Really?
Their baseball lingo. You understand what I'm saying? Lingo is unbelievable. They make you laugh just to talk to them.
Hey, Pete, you got it.
They're funny.
You got to tell John, because it's a different audience, this show and the one you were on with me yesterday. You got to tell them the Joe DiMaggio and Vietnam story, dude. You got to tell them.
Well, it's really the truth. I mean, I get a call in 1967 from a guy from the State Department. He identifies himself. He says, "Would you like to go to Vietnam?" I said, "Well, not necessarily. I'm just a kid." He said, "Well, Joe DiMaggio's going." I said, "Joe's going? I get to meet Joe DiMaggio? I'd walk through hell in a gasoline suit to meet Joe DiMaggio." So we went to San Francisco, myself, Joe, Tony Canigliero, if you remember him.
Sure do.
And
Boston.
You remember Jerry Coleman?
Padres,
he was a Yankee.
Hang a star on that one. Right. That was his phrase.
Right. He was a Yankee second baseman. We went over to – got off in Saigon. Joe and I went south. They went north. We ended up meeting them on the Intrepid, which was up in the Tonkin Bay as an aircraft carrier. It's docked in New York at the present time. And we're down in the jungle of South Vietnam, and all you can – we're here, and we're on a hill. There's a valley, another hill. All you can hear is boom, 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 mortars going off. And every fourth bullet out of the helicopter is a tracer. There's a war going on. And I'm not scared because I'm with Joe DiMaggio. If it's good enough for Joe, it's certainly good enough for me. Okay? So Joe says, "Man, I got to take a shower." I said, "Joe, it's so damn hot you can't sleep." He says, "I got to take a shower." I said, "Joe, we're not in Saigon. We're out in the middle of the jungle." He said, "I don't give a damn. I'm Joe DiMaggio." So the only way he could take a shower is a guy had to get up on a chair and pour water into this canvas thing and pull the thing underneath, and the guy underneath took a shower. I gave Joe DiMaggio a shower, okay? Now, the best way to describe Joe DiMaggio is he was a penis with a man hanging from it. Seriously, I don't know how in the hell he hitting 56 in a row carrying that thing around. That's a chore, man. I ain't lying to you.
That's how you get Marilyn Monroe.
I don't know if I envied her or felt sorry for her. Oh, my God.
That's called punishment, brother.
But one thing you couldn't do is talk about Marilyn. And I lived with Joe for 23 days. Joe was the best, man.
He loved her, too, Pete, you said, right?
Yeah, he did. Hey, but he put flowers on her grave every day.
When you were chasing him, were you thinking about him while you were doing it? Well, you got to, what, 44 games?
I got to 44. And, I thought I had a chance. I don't think that's a record that would ever be broken.
I don't either.
I'll tell you why. Because there's a lot of guys, all you do is you need to go into L.A. when Kershaw pitched the day before. Or you need to come in here when McCullers and the other guy,
Keuchel
pitched the two days before. You need to get breaks like that. And you need to... you need to play complete games because you can't play a half a game and go 0-1 and the streak's over. You know, I had one time in Philadelphia when I had a check swing in the eighth inning off of Tug McGraw, and the umpire called a ball 4, and I got to go to first, and I was 0-3, and we batted around in the ninth, and I got another at bat, and I dropped a bunt down and got a base hit to make it by 36 or 37. So
you need some luck.
But then the night my streak broke, I hit two ropes. I hit one that caught the pitcher and one that hit Bob Horner right here in the chest, and he trapped it.
What's the toughest one? Maybe Ripken's?
I think DiMaggio's is going to be the – I don't think that's ever getting bit.
Oh,
broke.
I don't know.
I'm not sold on that, Sean.
I'm not either.
Well, there's a couple.
You've got to be lucky, though. Yeah, 56 games in a row is hard.
Well, are we going to sit here and thank a guy and praise a guy because he went to work every day?
Yes, thank you. I'm not talking about – I'm talking about DiMaggio's. I don't think DiMaggio's is getting broke.
Just like you said, with Ripken's deal, you can't have anything happen to you where you get hit in the knee.
Well, I'm going to tell you why I don't think that streak is unbreakable. I had a streak of 1,250 or 1,300 games, and we're playing Montreal one day in Cincinnati, and I got the flu. Okay, and Ross Grimsley's pitching for Montreal. We got two guys on. We're down by a run. It's late in the ball game. I'm on deck to pinch hit. And the guy before me bunted, and Ross threw it over the third baseman's head, and we scored two runs to go ahead. So I didn't need to pinch hit. So I missed that game, okay? Then I went on to play 11 or 1,200 more in a row. After we weren't even aware of that streak. You know, when I went to Philadelphia as a free agent, I was 39 years old. The first 4 years I was in Philly, I did not miss a game.
See, I think that record can be brought. I'm talking about DiMaggio's. I don't think anybody's getting, like you said, to get lucky in who you draw in a four-game.
Yeah.
I think 56. I think Favre's durability record and DiMaggio's 56-game hitting streak are the two that won't be broke.
Well, 511 wins won't be broke.
That's another one. That's exactly right.
I'll tell you another
That's
one.
Ridiculous.
I'll tell you another one won't
you
be
won't
broke.
Even see. Nobody will sniff 300 again.
Is Johnny Vandermeer's double no-hit.
Right.
Because you got to pitch three.
Right.
Three no-hitters in a row to break his record.
Right.
That's exactly right.
I'll tell you another one won't be broke. I got 14,000 at-bats. Official.
Well, I can tell you another one that won't be broke.
42-56.
How many singles do you have, Pete?
I got 3,200.
3,200 singles.
Will you call me a punch and Judy?
Yeah, yes, I actually am. Hey, one other thing. Umpires, you got to hear this one too, John. You got to hear this.
Right. Which one's this?
This is stories. The John McSherry behind first base. Because, John, God bless him.
God bless him. He died opening day of Cincinnati.
And you loved umpires, right?
Yeah, I did. I got to go with him. Especially when I played first base because you're always around him. And we're playing a 13 or 14 inning game, and John was a big guy, right? And I knew he was hungry. Man, I said, Pete, get this game. I'm hungry. He didn't even say hungry. He said hungry. Man, and all of a sudden, this guy, Riverfront was real close to the line, okay? Riverfront was real close to first base. And this guy from the first row threw a hamburger down, and it landed right behind him. And, man, he stood up, and he's looking back at that hamburger. Oh, man, he's wiping his brow. He's going, he looked at me and says, has it got ketchup on it, man? It's like, I told you one about Tommy Lasorda?
Yeah.
But he's coaching third at an all-star game, and I'm on first, and Hank Aaron or Willie Mays got a base hit. The center, I went into third head first, and I'm getting up, and I'm brushing off, and Tommy starts telling me, well, this guy can't throw, and this guy, I said, Tommy, I've been in the league 15 years. I know who can throw. Just coach first base. You know, I'm kidding him. I'm teasing Tommy. Tommy says, you know something, Petey? He said, we had a vote for the game. I said, what? He said, you were voted the second best-looking guy on the team. I said, who in the hell was number one? He said, the other 24 times. Go to hell, Tommy.
Pete Rose, Hit King. The Hit King Baseball Academy opened in Katy. End of the year, it'll be all done. Well, this will be cool.
We're going to teach kids the right way to play the game of baseball. We have kids from 8 to 18.
So what is your plan for the Hit King?
Once we get open, come every month.
No, you're going to come every month?
Oh, yeah.
You're going to be there every month?
I'm a hands-on type guy.
And you're going to –
But I got good instructors.
And it'll be – and but you're going to tell the instructors how you want them? How you want them to teach?
Not how I want them, the right way to play the game. They know the right way. We're teaching it right now. We have several teams playing right now. Okay, so I'm just tired of turning my TV on every night and watching these guys play the game the wrong way.
You're talking about the shift, Pete.
I don't know what the shift is.
Well, when they got the infield one way and they don't turn the outfield and shift over too. You were telling that story?
Yeah, the other night they had to shift toward right field and the outfield was shift toward left field. I mean, the pitcher didn't know whether to wind his ass or scratch his watch. I mean, Sean listens to everything.
I do. I get. I'll be telling your story, Tom, 102, brother. I promise. And you'll probably still be 112.
I got time for that Don Zimmer story.
Yeah.
This is a good one. Don Zimmer and I grew up in the same neighborhood, okay? Same Little League coaches, same American League coaches, same high school coaches. He was older than me. Matter of fact, our dads were Little League teammates, okay? And his dad and my dad used to take us to the racetrack every Saturday. That's where all that bull started, okay? And his dad was the biggest gambler.
He's the only guy who knows more baseball than you is Don Zimmer.
He did, man. He was unbelievable. We learned the same place.
Right.
Okay? And his dad was the biggest gambler, and I'm just a kid, 11, 12 years old. And he said, Petey, I had a dream last night about white hats and black hats and round hats and square hats. And he went to work. He owned a produce company, and a guy gave him a new Cincinnati red hat. And as he did every day, he went 10 miles east to River Downs Racetrack. He opened up the program. Number one was Top Hat. Now, if you know anything about gambling, you're dreaming about hats. A guy gives you a new hat. Number one is Top Hat. He bet $1,000 to win on Top Hat, which is a big-ass bet in 1951, okay? They're going around two turns. They're coming down the home stretch. The last jump, a 50-to-1 shot, beat Top Hat. I said, Dud, who won the race? He said, Sombrero. But this is the same guy, Don's dad. He bet on a duck one time and it drowned. How you going to win?
He opened my show before I asked a question. He sets on and says something about bet. I mean, he comes on. What did you say about it? You said something about
He said, well, we're gonna, I said, we're going to talk about betting today.
That was the, before about, I could introduce
hey,
him.
How about the time I'm playing in the Astrodome, right? It's a Friday series. And I'm flying this girl from San Diego. It's a true story. And she's getting in a six. I'm single. I'm allowed to fly. I'm, you know, okay. Right. It's okay to have
it was
a
no side piece.
Yes,
it was,
yeah. Yes. And she's getting in a quarter after six, and we have a game of seven, so I can't pick her up. In those days, you could go right to the gate. So my buddy's going to go pick her up. He said, what does she look like? I said, man, she's from San Diego. She'll be the best-looking chick on the plane. Just go up to the best-looking chick on the plane and tell her you're here to pick her up for Pete Rose. Okay, so he goes to the gate. The third person off the damn plane is Farrah Fawcett. Yeah, no. And hey, this guy goes up to her. I said, you dumbass, I'm making $15,000 a year. She's in coach. Give her time to get off. And later on in life, I did a thing with Ryan O'Neal in Cincinnati, and he was married to her. And he called her up. She said, you tried to pick me up in Houston one night, didn't you? Yeah. I said, no, that was that dumbass I sent to pick my girl up.
Farrah Fawcett. You think I would have mentioned that?
She was a Charlie's Angel.
Yeah.
He was talking about Priscilla.
She was from Houston.
No. Real
she
quick,
from
last
Houston.
Quick story, Priscilla Presley and Babe Ruth's daughter. You got to tell this real quick.
Oh, I was up at the Hall of Fame signing autographs. Now, listeners, don't get alarmed. I'm allowed in Cooperstown. I'm just not allowed to hang. No hanging. No hanging in Cooperstown. And I'm signing autographs at Safe at Home. And this 77, 78-year-old lady come four blocks down the street to say hi to me. It was Babe Ruth's daughter. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been in front of federal judges before. And I was more nervous talking to her than I was in front of that federal judge. Then 2 days later, she said her dad would appreciate the way I played the game, which I really appreciate her saying that. Then 2 days later, I was on a plane down in Tampa going back to L.A. where I lived. And Priscilla Presley was sitting in front of me. So in the course of 2 days, I met Babe Ruth's daughter and Priscilla Presley. I was having a hell of a month. I almost start gambling right then and again. That's a hell of a month to meet them two.
Bet on Daddy's girl.
Oh, man.
That's a winner. Hey, Pete Rose, the Hit King Baseball Academy coming to
Katy. Look at all these Hit Kingers out here.
Look at all,
look
this.
All these
look
ball
at this.
Players out here.
Look at that. That's a great logo. You like that logo?
Awesome,
yeah, like
logo.
How you like 4256?
How do
number.
I like it?
How you like that number?
That's Jackie Robinson and Joe DiMaggio right there.
Right there.
42 and 56.
Look at that. 42 and 56. Yep. All right, Pete, we appreciate it. Pete,
I didn't stop there for that reason, though, okay?
42-56. Go to hitkingbaseball.com. Hitkingbaseball.com.
Katy, Texas.
Yeah, Katy, Texas. Come on. It ain't just for Katy people either. You gotta, no. They'll be coming from all over.
Far and wide, brother.
Yeah, they'll be coming from all over. Pete, we appreciate it. Thanks for
Anytime.
Hanging with us.
I gotta Have a talk. Good day, Sean.
Always. You know that. I'm go back, do four more hours. It just won't be the same without
Workaholic,
you.
Workaholic, buddy.
Always, bud. The only way I know how to do it. Thank you.